Today on a special edition of Tristan Storytime, it's our 30th episode, so we'll have a mix of old and new stories. First up, Mr. Jeremy Fisher plans to catch 5 minnows for dinner with his friends. Then, Hansel and Gretel end up getting lost in a huge forest and meet a wicked witch who wants to have them for supper. Next, a wolf asks a crane to remove a bone from his throat, followed by the quiet song, Hush, Little Baby. And finally, Robert Louis Stevenson takes us out to the open sea and gives us that timeless question, Where go the boats? That's next on Tristan Storytime. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Tristan Storytime. I'm your host, Tristan Gardner, and I'm certainly glad you could join me today. We've got some great stories picked out, and I want to extend an invitation to use your imaginations as I read them. So without any further ado, let's get the show on the road. In other words, on with the stories! I first got the inspiration to read the tale of Mr. Jeremy Fisher when Tristan's Storytime began, which is exactly when the COVID pandemic first hit. Actually, I first got the inspiration when I listened to that story on audio tape back when I was growing up. I enjoyed the parts about the water beetle, the fishes laughing at Mr. Jeremy Fisher, and an enormous trout almost eating him for lunch. As a tribute to our 30th episode, and since so many people like Beatrix Potter's story so much, I thought I'd revisit one and read it to you. So I decided to read this one just to show you how much fun I had putting it all together. This story is called The Tale of Mr. Jeremy Fisher by Beatrix Potter. Once upon a time, there was a frog called Mr. Jeremy Fisher. He lived in a little damp house amongst the buttercups at the edge of a pond. The water was all slippy sloppy in the larder and in the back passage, but Mr. Jeremy liked getting his feet wet. Nobody ever scolded him, and he never got a cold. He was quite pleased when he looked out and saw large drops of rain splashing in the pond. "I will get some worms and go fishing and catch a dish of minnows for my dinner," said Mr. Jeremy Fisher. "If I catch more than 5 fish, I will invite my friends, Mr. Alderman Ptolemy Tortoise and Sir Isaac Newton. The alderman, however, eats salad." Mr. Jeremy put on a Macintosh and a pair of shiny galoshes. He took his rod and basket and set off with enormous hops to the place where he kept his boat. The boat was round and green and very like the other lily leaves. It was tied to a water plant in the middle of the pond. Mr. Jeremy took a reed pole and pushed the boat out into the open water. "I know a good place for minnows," said Mr. Jeremy Fisher. Mr. Jeremy stuck his pole into the mud and fastened the boat to it. Then he settled himself cross-legged and arranged his fishing tackle. He had the dearest little red float. His rod was a tough stalk of grass. His line was a fine long white horsehair, and he tied a little wriggling worm at the end. The rain trickled down his back, and for nearly an hour, he stared at the float.
"This is getting tiresome. I think I should like some lunch," said Mr. Jeremy Fisher.
He punted back again amongst the water plants and took some lunch out of his basket.
"I will eat a butterfly sandwich and wait till the shower's over," said Mr. Jeremy Fisher.
A great big water beetle came up underneath the lily leaf and tweaked the toe of one of his galoshes. Mr. Jeremy crossed his legs up shorter, out of reach, and went on eating his sandwich. Once or twice, something moved about with a rustle and a splash amongst the rushes at the side of the pond.
"I trust that is not a rat," said Mr. Jeremy Fisher. "I think I had better get away from here."
Mr. Jeremy shoved the boat out again a little way and dropped in the bait. There was a bite almost directly. The float gave a tremendous bobbit.
"A minnow! A minnow! I have him by the nose!"
cried Mr. Jeremy Fisher, jerking up his rod. But what a horrible surprise! Instead of a smooth, fat minnow, Mr. Jeremy landed Little Jack Sharp, the stickleback, covered with spines. The stickleback floundered about the boat, pricking and snapping until he was quite out of breath. Then he jumped back into the water. And a shoal of other little fishes put their heads out and laughed at Mr. Jeremy Fisher. And while Mr. Jeremy sat disconsolately on the edge of his boat, sucking his sore fingers and peering down into the water, a much worse thing happened. A really frightful thing it would have been if Mr. Jeremy had not been wearing a Macintosh. A great, big, enormous trout came up. Kerflop! With a splash! And it seized Mr. Jeremy with a snap.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
And then it turned and dived down to the bottom of the pond. But the trout was so displeased with the taste of the Macintosh that in less than half a minute, it spat him out again, and the only thing it swallowed was Mr. Jeremy's galoshes. Mr. Jeremy bounced up to the surface of the water like a cork and the bubbles out of a soda water bottle, and he swam with all his might to the edge of the pond. He scrambled out on the first bank he came to, and he hopped home across the meadow with his Macintosh all in tatters.
What a mercy that was not a pike, said Mr. Jeremy Fisher. I have lost my rod and basket, but it does not much matter, for I'm sure I should never have dared to go fishing again.
He put some sticking plaster on his fingers, and his friends both came to dinner. He could not offer them fish, but he had something else in his larder. Sir Isaac Newton wore his black and gold waistcoat. And Mr. Alderman Ptolemy Tortoise brought a salad with him in a string bag. And instead of a nice dish of minnows, they had a roasted grasshopper with ladybird sauce, which frogs consider a beautiful treat. But I think it must have been quite nasty. Ugh. Now here's the moral of this story that everybody should know. One can still be generous even if things don't go as planned. Don't move a muscle. There are more stories to come as Tristan's Storytime continues. Remember the story of Hansel and Gretel? Well, if you don't, it features a boy and a girl who get lost in a forest and are attracted to this giant house made out of food. Of course, we realize that house is a trap for Hansel and Gretel in disguise. You may also recall that I read this story on our Halloween episode in our very first season. Why don't we revisit this story? And don't worry, this story has a happy ending. Of course, there will be some dark moments, so fasten your seatbelts as I read the story of Hansel and Gretel. Hard by a great forest dwelt a poor woodcutter with his wife and his two children. The boy was called Hansel and the girl Gretel. He had little to bite and to break, and once when great death fell on the land, he could no longer procure even daily bread. Now when he thought over this by night in his bed and tossed about in his anxiety, he groaned and said to his wife,
"What is to become of us? How are we to feed our poor children when we no longer have anything even for ourselves?"
"I'll tell you what, husband," answered the woman. "Early tomorrow morning, we will take the children out into the forest to where it is the thickest. There we will light a fire for them and give each of them one more piece of bread. And then we will go to our work and leave them alone. They will not find the way home again, and we shall be rid of them."
"No, wife," said the man, "I will not do that. How can I bear to leave my children alone in the forest? The wild animals would soon come and tear them to pieces."
"Oh, you fool," said she. "Then we must all four die of hunger. You may as well plane the planks for our coffins."
And she left him no peace until he consented.
"But I feel very sorry for the poor children all the same," said the man.
The two children had also not been able to sleep for hunger, and had heard what their stepmother had said to their father. Gretel wept bitter tears and said to Hansel,
"Now all is over with us."
"Be quiet, Gretel," said Hansel. "Do not distress yourself. I will soon find a way to help us."
And when the old folks had fallen asleep, he got up, put on his little coat, opened the door below, and crept outside. The moon shone brightly, and the white pebbles which lay in front of the house glittered like real silver pennies. Hansel stopped and stuffed the little pocket of his coat with as many as he could get in. Then he went back and said to Gretel,
"Be comforted, dear little sister, and sleep in peace. God will not forsake us."
And he lay down again in his bed. When day dawned, but before the sun had risen, the woman came and awoke the two children, saying,
"Get up, you sluggards! We are going into the forest to fetch wood."
She gave each a little piece of bread and said,
"There is something for your dinner, but do not eat it up before then, for you will get nothing else."
Gretel took the bread under her apron, as Hansel had the pebbles in his pocket. Then they all set out together on the way to the forest. When they had walked a short time, Hansel stood still and peeped back at the house, and did so again and again. His father said,
"Hansel, what are you looking at there and staying behind for? Pay attention, and do not forget how to use your legs."
"Ah, father," said Hansel, "I am looking at my little white cat, which is sitting up on the roof and wants to say goodbye to me."
The wife said,
"Fool, this is not your little cat. That is the morning sun which is shining on the chimneys."
Hansel, however, had not been looking back at the cat, but had been constantly throwing one of the white pebble stones out of his pocket on the road. When they had reached the middle of the forest, the father said,
"Now, children, pile up some wood, and I will light a fire that you may not be cold."
Hansel and Gretel gathered brushwood together, as high as a little hill. The brushwood was lighted, and when the flames were burning very high, the woman said,
"Now, children, lay yourselves down by the fire and rest. We will go into the forest and cut some wood. When we have done, we will come back and fetch you away."
Hansel and Gretel sat by the fire, and when noon came, each ate a little piece of bread, and as they heard the strokes of the wood axe, they believed that their father was near. It was not the axe, however, but a branch which he had fastened to a withered tree which the wind was blowing backwards and forwards. And as they had been sitting for such a long time, their eyes closed with fatigue, and they fell fast asleep. When at last they awoke, it was already dark night. Gretel began to cry and said,
"How are we to get out of the forest now?"
But Hansel comforted her and said,
"Just wait a little until the moon has risen, and then we will soon find the way."
And when the full moon had risen, Hansel took his little sister by the hand and followed the pebbles which shone like newly colored silver pieces and showed them the way. They walked the whole night long, and by break of day came once more to their father's house. They knocked at the door, and when the woman opened it and saw that it was Hansel and Gretel, she said,
"You naughty children! Why have you slept so long in the forest? We thought you were never coming back at all."
The father, however, rejoiced, for it had cut him to the heart to leave them behind alone. Not long afterwards, there was once more great dearth throughout the land, and the children heard their mother saying at night to their father,
"Everything is eaten again. We have one half loaf left, and that is the end. The children must go. We will take them farther into the wood, so that they will not find their way out again. There is no other means of saving ourselves."
The man's heart was heavy, and he thought, "It would be better for you to share the last mouthful with your children." The woman, however, would listen to nothing that he had to say, but scolded and reproached him. He who says A must say B likewise, and as he had yielded the first time, he had to do so a second time also. The children, however, were still awake and had heard the conversation. When the old folks were asleep, Hansel again got up and wanted to go out and pick up pebbles as he had done before. But the woman had locked the door, and Hansel could not get out. Nevertheless, he comforted his little sister and said,
"Do not cry, Gretel. Go to sleep quietly. The good God will help us."
Early in the morning came the woman and took the children out of their beds. Their piece of bread was given to them, but it was still smaller than the time before. On the way into the forest, Hansel crumbled his in his pocket and often stood still and threw a morsel on the ground.
"Hansel, why do you stop and look round?" said the father. "Go on."
"I am looking back at my little pigeon which is sitting on the roof and wants to say goodbye to me,"
answered Hansel.
"Fool," said the woman, "that is not your little pigeon. That is the morning sun that is shining on the chimney."
Hansel, however, little by little threw all the crumbs on the path. The woman led the children still deeper into the forest, where they had never in their lives been before. Then a great fire was again made, and the mother said,
"Just sit there, you children, and when you are tired, you may sleep a little. We are going into the forest to cut wood, and in the evening when we are done, we will come and fetch you away."
When it was noon, Gretel shared her piece of bread with Hansel, who had scattered his by the way. Then they fell asleep and evening passed, but no one came to the poor children. They did not awake until it was dark night, and Hansel comforted his little sister and said,
"Just wait, Gretel, until the moon rises, and then we shall see the crumbs of bread which I have strewn about. They will show us our way home again."
When the moon came, they set out, but they found no crumbs, for the many thousands of birds which fly about in the woods and fields had picked them all up. Hansel said to Gretel,
"We shall soon find the way."
But they did not find it. They walked the whole night and all the next day too, from morning till evening. But they did not get out of the forest and were very hungry, for they had nothing to eat but two or three berries, which grew on the ground. And as they were so weary that their legs would carry them no longer, they lay down beneath a tree and fell asleep. It was now 3 mornings since they had left their father's house. They began to walk again, but they always came deeper into the forest, and if help did not come soon, they must die of hunger and weariness. When it was midday, they saw a beautiful snow-white bird sitting on a bough, which sang so delightfully that they stood still and listened to it. And when its song was over, it spread its wings and flew away before them, and they followed it until they reached a little house on the roof, of which it alighted. And when they approached the little house, they saw that it was built of bread and covered with cakes, but that the windows were of clear sugar.
"We will set to work on that," said Hansel, "and have a good meal. I will eat a bit of the roof, and you, Gretel, can eat some of the window. It will taste sweet."
Hansel reached up above and broke off a little of the roof to try how it tasted. And Gretel leant against the window and nibbled at the panes. Then a soft voice cried from the parlor,
"Nibble, nibble, gnaw. Who is nibbling at my little house?"
The children answered,
the wind, the heaven-born wind,"
and went on eating without disturbing themselves. Hansel, who liked the taste of the roof, tore down a great piece of it, and Gretel pushed out the whole of one round window pane, sat down, and enjoyed herself with it. Suddenly, the door opened, and a woman as old as the hills, who supported herself on crutches, came creeping out. Hansel and Gretel were so terribly frightened that they let fall what they had in their hands. The old woman, however, nodded her head and said,
"Oh, you poor dear children, who has brought you here? Do come in and stay with me. No harm shall happen to you."
She took them both by the hand and led them into her little house. Then good food was set before them, milk and pancakes with sugar, apples, and nuts. Afterwards, two pretty little beds were covered with clean white linen, and Hansel and Gretel lay down in them and thought they were in heaven. The old woman had only pretended to be so kind. She was in reality a wicked witch who lay in wait for children and had only built the little house of bread in order to entice them there. When a child fell into her power, she killed it, cooked, and ate it. And that was a feast day with her. Witches have red eyes and cannot see far, but they have a keen scent like the beasts and are aware when human beings draw near. When Hansel and Gretel came into her neighborhood, she laughed with malice and said mockingly,
"I have them. They shall not escape me again."
Early in the morning, before the children were awake, she was already up, and when she saw both of them sleeping and looking so pretty, with their plump and rosy cheeks, she muttered to herself,
"That will be a dainty mouthful."
Then she seized Hansel with her shriveled hand, carried him into a little stable, and locked him in behind a grated door. Scream as he might, it would not help him. Then she went to Gretel, shook her till she awoke, and cried,
"Get up, lazy thing! Fetch some water and cook something good for your brother. He is in the stable outside and is to be made fat. When he is fat, I will eat him."
Gretel began to weep bitterly, but it was all in vain, for she was forced to do what the wicked witch commanded. And now the best food was cooked for poor Hansel, but Gretel got nothing but crab shells. Every morning the woman crept to the little stable and cried,
"Hansel, stretch out your finger that I may feel if you will soon be fat."
Hansel, however, stretched out a little bone to her, and the old woman, who had dim eyes, could not see it, and thought it was Hansel's finger, and was astonished that there was no way of fattening him. When 4 weeks had gone by and Hansel still remained thin, she was seized with impatience and would not wait any longer.
"Now then, Gretel," she cried to the girl, "stir yourself and bring some water. Let Hansel be fat or lean. Tomorrow I will kill him and cook him."
Ah, how the poor little sister did lament when she had to fetch the water, and how her tears did flow down her cheeks.
"Dear God, do help us," she cried. "If the wild beasts in the forest had but devoured us, we should at any rate have died together."
"Just keep your noise to yourself," said the old woman. "It won't help you at all."
Early in the morning, Gretel had to go out and hang up the cauldron with the water and light the fire.
"We will bake first," said the old woman. "I have already heated the oven and kneaded the dough."
She pushed poor Gretel out to the oven, from which flames of fire were already darting.
"Creep in," said the witch, "and see if it is properly heated so that we can put the bread in."
And once Gretel was inside, she intended to shut the oven and let her bake in it, and then she would eat her too. But Gretel saw what she had in mind and said,
"I do not know how I am to do it. How do I get in?"
"Silly goose," said the old woman. "The door is big enough. Just look. I can get in myself."
And she crept up and thrust her head into the oven. Then Gretel gave her a push that drove her far into it and shut the iron door and fastened the bolt. Oh, then she began to howl quite horribly. But Gretel ran away, and the godless witch was miserably burnt to death. Gretel, however, ran like lightning to Hansel, opened his little stable, and cried,
"Hansel, we are saved! The old witch is dead!"
Then Hansel sprang like a bird from its cage when the door is opened. How they did rejoice and embrace each other, and dance about and kiss each other! And as they had no longer any need to fear her, they went into the witch's house, and in every corner there stood chests full of pearls and jewels.
"These are far better than pebbles," said Hansel,
and thrust into his pockets whatever could be got in. And Gretel said,
"I too will take something home with me,"
and filled her pinafore full.
"But now we must be off," said Hansel, "that we may get out of the witch's forest."
When they had walked for 2 hours, they came to a great stretch of water.
"We cannot cross," said Hansel. "I see no foot plank and no bridge."
"And there is also no fairy," answered Gretel. "But a white duck is swimming there. If I ask her, she will help us over."
Then she cried,
"Little duck, little duck, dost thou see Hansel and Gretel waiting for thee? There's never a plank or bridge in sight. Take us across on thy back so white."
The duck came to them, and Hansel seated himself on its back and told his sister to sit by him.
"No,"
replied Gretel.
"That will be too heavy for the little duck. She shall take us across, one after the other."
The good little duck did so, and when they were once safely across and had walked for a short time, the forest seemed to be more and more familiar to them, and at length they saw from afar their father's house. Then they began to run, rushed into the parlor, and threw themselves round their father's neck. The man had not known one happy hour since he had left the children in the forest. The woman, however, was dead. Gretel emptied her pinafore until pearls and precious stones ran about the room, and Hansel threw one handful after another out of his pocket to add to them. Then all anxiety was at an end, and they lived together in perfect happiness. My tale is done. There runs a mouse. Whosoever catches it may make himself a big fur cap out of it. And with the end of that fairy tale comes the beginning of another trend. The moral, of course. And that is, do not talk to strangers or accept gifts from them. Well, that was fun and scary at the same time. More of Tristan's story time coming up. I've seen some instances where no gratitude is to be expected from the wicked, even if you do a favor for them. That's because in this fable, a crane helps a wolf, but doesn't get the reward he wanted. I think the best way, as always, is for me to read another classic fable called The Wolf and the Crane by Aesop. A wolf had been feasting too greedily, and a bone had stuck crosswise in his throat. He could get it neither up nor down, and of course, he could not eat a thing. Naturally, that was an awful state of affairs for a greedy wolf. So away he hurried to the crane. He was sure that she, with her long neck and bill, would easily be able to reach the bone and pull it out.
"I will reward you very handsomely," said the wolf, "if you pull that bone out for me."
The crane, as you can imagine, was very uneasy about putting her head in a wolf's throat. But she was grasping in nature, so she did what the wolf asked her to do. When the wolf felt that the bone was gone, he started to walk away.
"But what about my reward?"
called the crane anxiously.
"What?"
snarled the wolf, whirling around.
"Haven't you got it? Isn't it enough that I let you take your head out of my mouth without snapping it off?"
Now you see why the wolf won't offer any reward to the crane for helping get that bone unstuck from his throat. To put it simply, expect no reward for serving the wicked. Today's nursery rhyme features various rewards a baby will earn for being quiet. Plus, it's a lullaby too, so it should help them go to sleep at night. But there's also going to be a twist. A little reggae music won't hurt. Plus, I'm going to be singing along too, but I'm going to be singing the melody while the singers will be singing the harmony. So let's get ready to get our children to sleep as we sing this song, Hush Little Baby.
Hush little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, Mama's gonna buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring turns brass, Mama's gonna buy you a looking glass. And if that looking glass is broke, Mama's gonna buy you a billy goat. Don't pull. Mama's gonna buy you a cart and bull. And if that cart and bull turns over, Mama's gonna buy you a dog named Rover. Dog named Rover won't bark. Mama's gonna buy you a horse and cart. And if that horse and cart falls down, you'll still be the sweetest little baby in town.
Around Tristan Storytime, we'll be right back. Have you ever ridden on a boat of some kind? Like a sailboat? Well, if you haven't, could you imagine yourself riding in one someday? Perhaps making paper boats helped you imagine it. Here's a simple poem where a kid watches his boats float down the river, not knowing when or if they'll return from their voyage. And this classic poem by Robert Louis Stevenson asks this very question: Where go the boats? Dark brown is the river, golden is the sand. It flows along forever, with trees on either hand. Green leaves a-floating, castles of the foam, boats of mine a-boating. Where will all come home? On goes the river, and out past the mill. Away down the valley, away down the hill. Green leaves a-floating, castles of the foam, boats of mine a-boating. Where will all come home? Away down the river, 100 miles or more. Other little children shall bring my boats ashore. Green leaves a-floating, castles of the foam, boats of mine a-boating. Where will all come home? Next time on Tristan Storytime, it's time to play ball as we learn the basics of the baseball alphabet. Then get ready for a silly fairy tale as the farmer believes his family has the 3 silliest people in the world. Next, a foolish spendthrift sells all his winter clothes in the summer when a swallow sings to him in The Spendthrift and the Swallow, followed by the beauty of the night sky in Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And finally, a poem dedicated to mothers everywhere. My Kind Mother. That's next time on Tristan Storytime. Well, that just about wraps things up for today, but before we go, I want to remind you of a few last-minute pieces of information that I think you should know. First of all, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, there are plenty more exciting episodes on any of the podcast platforms you chose today. Also, you can follow Tristan Storytime on any of the social media platforms where you'll find video clips of stories I read on past shows every Thursday at 4 p.m. And you can find it all on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. In addition, you can find Tristan Storytime on Discord. And as you've noticed, music and sound effects will be included with every story I read. Every day, we're always finding new ways for all of us to grow together. Oh, and one last thing. If you have a classic family-friendly story idea that you'd like me to read on a future show, such as a picture book story, fairy tale, a fable from Aesop, or a poem, just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com. That's TristanStorytime, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And that's without the apostrophe. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again soon. So until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember to keep using your imaginations, because I use mine to help you use yours. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The Tale of Mr. Jeremy Fisher, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter, published in 1906 by Frederick Warren and Company. Hansel and Gretel, written by the Brothers Grimm, published in 1812 by the Brothers Grimm. The Wolf and the Crane, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Myla Winter, published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Hush, Little Baby, written and composed by Cecil Sharp. Originally published in 1918. Music arrangement by the Green Orbs. Where Go the Boats? Taken from the book A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson. Illustrated by Myrtle Sheldon. Published in 1916 by M.A. Donahue and Company.